Welcome to Uncommon Purpose with your hosts, Mandy Cooley
and Stephanie Porter.
We believe our uncommon purpose is found at the intersection of our heads and our hearts.
In each episode, we'll share stories, resources, and expertise that will help us build meaningful connections and reflect the love of Christ.
Join us as we have an authentic conversation about the journey of living for the Lord while cultivating our uncommon purpose. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, girl. How's it going?
Oh, it's so good. It's sunny here in cold, wintry Indiana, and I'm so grateful for some sunshine today.
Oh, I'm so glad. We have rain and clouds, so we swapped.
Listen, spring in Texas is no joke. I know it's winter, but it's spring because you only have really like two seasons, summer and not summer.
We do. We literally, I think, get a total of 6 weeks of winter, and January and February are the coldest months, but it's 55 degrees today. That's cold, but not cold.
It is.
Yeah. It's not cold.
I remember gray winter, and it was not. I mean, we get gray winter in Indiana. It's not that it's not here, but in Texas, it's like gray and rainy. And that doesn't feel like, I don't know, not my favorite.
It's not my favorite, but it will pass.
I know. It will be good. You'll get warmth here soon.
You know, I know we're not talking about Groundhog Day, but just because we're talking about winter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is coming. And I am so curious. Are we going to have six more weeks of winter? Or
I actually think that this episode is going to drop the day after Groundhog's Day. So, like, we can predict. Have been right?
Let's do it.
I'm going to need Phil to show up and bring us some spring. That's all I'm saying. Punxsutawney Phil, bring me some spring.
My vote is we're getting six more weeks of winter this year.
I don't mind it.
I know. Y'all have had it. I mean, you've had cold polar. Your polar vortex was so cold. Ours was cold, but it wasn't in the negatives.
Okay, listen. So last week, early in the week, it was like negative 15, negative 17 wind chill. Ooh. I mean, it was miserable. And then on Wednesday, it was like 29 and sunny and... No joke. We are like the definition of like a Midwest meme on social media because we're all like, oh, hey, it's so warm. I don't need a coat. And all of us crazy fools walking around in just like a sweater, jeans and boots because it's like a 30 degree temperature swing from 2 days before. We're like, oh, my, it's like a heat wave.
That's what I was going to say. It's a heat wave.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. All right, friends, wherever you're listening, I hope you are enjoying a bit of sunshine. If you don't have sunshine, maybe some good coffee. Thanks for joining us today. Settle in for a conversation. We're going to chat today about maintaining friendships. Before we jump into the episode, though, I just want a little bit of housekeeping to circle back and say we had a conversation back in December that we were going to do some kind of reorganizing and structuring around maybe sponsorships or Patreon memberships. And just quite frankly, we don't have our act together to have that done. So we're looking at it. We're trying to figure it out. To do those things makes it a little bit more formal. And so we just want to make sure we're doing it the right way. If you are still thinking you might want to be sponsoring us or supporting us, feel free to reach out to either one of us directly or through any of our socials through a direct message. We're just still very much a work in progress. So stay tuned. We'll have more details soon.
Well said. Well said, Mandy.
All right, Stephanie, today we're chatting about what it is to and why we need to maintain friendships. So when you think about what goes into maintaining a friendship, what's kind of behind the effort that you find yourself willing to make?
What a great question. Well, I'm going to start with this little caveat. I have moved across the country 4 times and I have friends all over the country because I've had to work and learn how to maintain relationships. I would say that one of the things that's super important is making time, reaching out and staying in touch and really making sure that the relationship, if it's important, then you'll make time for that person.
You know, I think it's so good that you bring up up right off the bat, proximity, because it's super easy. That's not fair. It's actually not really easy. It is more convenient to maintain a friendship when you work with someone, when you attend church with someone, when your kids are in school together, just when life's rhythms overlap, maintaining friendships is really convenient. And it actually doesn't require quite that much effort or attention. It's just your people are just all, we just all show up in the same spot. But when people move, I've moved Illinois to Texas, Texas to Indiana. You've moved, I don't know, I feel like we'd have to like spirograph the map of your moves.
Texas to Washington State, Washington to New Mexico, New Mexico to Indiana, Indiana back to Texas.
Back home again. Back. It's like combining. You can like the Indiana back home again in Indiana, but back home again in Texas for you.
I know. It is.
Aww, yeah.
I know. I agree. You're right. It seems easier when people are in your space, you cross paths and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But how many times do you say, oh, let's go to lunch. Let's get coffee. And do you follow through with that? Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're maintaining a friendship, it's like actually saying, hey, let's put a date on the calendar right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
I have become aware of those moments where my instinct is to say, let's do that. And I know that I actually am really not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I've stopped kind of offering in some situations. Somebody reached out to me. Oh, it was on a social media post. There was just a comment. And I went to reply like, oh, I'd really love to catch up. And I thought I would really love to catch up. But I've only got a few blocks of time each week, each month that I can set aside for not my family, not my job, not my commitments or responsibilities. And so do I want one of those blocks of time to go to that? And I'm like, oh, rewind. I'm probably not going to say that. And so I didn't. I mean, no harm to that individual. Like,
it wasn't about them.
No. And it wasn't, I don't think there was even an awareness that I didn't offer. It was just more in me that I had become aware. Oof. We talk about margin in here often, but I just don't know if I have the margin for kind of like what we talked about a couple episodes ago. Anything bigger than my village is not probably as fruitful for them or for me. Like, I just can't show up as a good friend if I'm spread that thin.
That's good insight. That's good. Yeah. And I think the most important insight is it has nothing to do with the other person.
100%.
Right? It has everything to do with, can I follow through? Am I going to be true to my word? And can I make space? Yeah. And so good for you. Like, that's really hard to do. A couple of years ago, I had moved and I was trying to build friendships, cultivate them, and then maintain them. And I was feeling really lonely, but I hadn't been intentional in spending time. So I wrote a list of the girls I wanted to get to know better. Once a week was like, I'm going to make a coffee date or a lunch date or whatever. I had like these 8 women that I was specifically seeking out. And that was some of my dearest friends today are because I was intentional with figuring out who do I see and that I think also sees me, that we are like-minded, our values are the same. I think we would have a great relationship. That was an idea of my intentionality too in those relationships.
As I hear you describing that, I'm thinking about, you know, both of us sit in spaces where we have an opportunity to hear men and women kind of lament broken relationships. One of the things that I hear often is just how hard relationships are for women. I have served in some form of women's ministry, specifically, you know, just spaces that are created for women to gather and study the Lord and just build community. And I hear that so much that it's hard to do. And a lot of women feel rejected. As I describe thinking about who I have time for and you describing who you have time for and who you want to cultivate and pour into, I think it's good for us to just kind of pause for a second and honor that there are some people who this is a really hard thing. Like the fear of being rejected, the fear of being alone, like you were describing, these are gripping fears. These are emotions that will push someone into the background and oftentimes sort of beckon a younger season of life, you know, in elementary, middle, high school, where girl relationships are mean and challenging at times. And if you're listening and you're thinking, gosh, like, I don't want to do this work because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be not picked. I don't want to be the one not offered the coffee. I just want to normalize. This is hard. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about this in our last couple episodes, but it is vulnerable to mm-hmm. put yourself out there and say, I want to be friends with you. Whether you're, you know, 14 or 44, mm-hmm. it's hard.
Yeah. Well, and what you're talking about is taking a risk.
Yeah.
That's so important in maintaining friendships. I love that you're normalizing it, but also this other part of, I might have made a list. Well, because in my one little brain, I only know this many people, but I might not know that so-and-so thinks this about me. And so I need so-and-so to take a risk and ask me to coffee.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not because I didn't put someone on the list. It's because my little brain didn't have that awareness. So I love that because I might be taking a risk, but I also in a relationship need the other person to take a risk.
Yeah. And what we really want to focus on today is we want to presume you've been risky. We want to presume that you have found some friends, some people that you love, some people that have kind of a like-mindedness mm-hmm. and that you want to deepen that friendship or you want to keep connected to that friendship. I personally think the vulnerability is really worth it. I think the risk is really worth it. But I know for some people, female friendships in this particular case, you know, guy friendships, man, guys are so good. Guys are so good at letting go of some of the offense and being willing to, you know, kind of find somebody else. I actually just watched this reel. I'll have to see if I can find it. Oh, I think it was Trey Kennedy and John Crist. Oh. They were on, I think.
They're hilarious.
The two of them together. They were cracking each other up so much they were crying. But they were talking about how it takes so long for women to plan something, right? Like a group of women get together and, you know, they won't meet unless everybody can meet. And then so it takes, you know, 7 months for them to find a date. And the guys are like, hey, you want to come over and watch the game? Cool. Mm-hmm. So-and-so can't make it. All right. We'll see him next time. And then they just move on about it. Like, I do think that it's kind of a double-edged sword. Women's desire to be inclusive can sometimes be limiting. I think that this is a space for us to really kind of lean in on. You've found the people. The Lord has led you to them and led them to you. You want to steward that relationship well.
That's great. So we talked about staying in touch and maintain and making time. And then what else would you say, Manny? What helps you steward this relationship?
I think an abundance of grace, both directions, you know, grace that runs both ways. There are days, today was one of those days, actually. I said this to my husband as I was heading home. I said, I need some time to catch up on responding. I'm not trying to ignore people, but I have accumulated a few unread messages that I need to get back to. And I desire that, but sometimes I just kind of run out of day between work and family and just physical limitations. And so for me, my very best relationships are ones that have reciprocal grace, where if I don't respond straight away, it's fine. If they don't respond straight away, also fine. But there is a desire to be connected regularly and consistently, but an understanding that life happens at times.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's really important to the grace that we often ask for it, but it's harder to give it, right? So when your friend cancels or reschedules and you were looking forward to it and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, okay, I'm going to extend grace. And we say in the response, probably in the text message, oh yeah, no problem. But then we're like, and it's like, oh, let your heart catch up to your words.
Yeah.
You know, that's really important because I'm going to have to be the one to reschedule at some point too.
100%. Yeah.
I bet all those people were happy to hear from you.
Maybe.
Good job making space.
I hope so.
I think something really important about maintaining good friendship is being a good listener, really learning to listen. I tell my clients all the time, I taught it to my kids. We don't listen with our ears. We listen with our heart. And when you can sit down and listen to your friend with your heart and come alongside of them, not interrupt, not take over, doesn't mean you don't have like-mindedness. It doesn't mean you don't share in a story. It doesn't mean you don't engage, but just really being able to reflect back, attune, and let them feel heard. And there's nothing greater in a relationship than that building moment.
I think another really helpful component. I don't know. These all it sounds so technical. And I feel like sometimes it's just much more fluid than this. But I think the ability to just kind of lean in when things maybe go a bit awry. Sometimes there's conflict, right? Sometimes there's like, you know, something happens. But sometimes somebody's just having a day. You know, the ability, I guess this kind of falls back into grace, but just the ability to kind of lean in, check in on my friend and say, you're a little different today. Is everything okay? I think for me, what kept me from doing that in the past, maybe in previous seasons of my life, was a fear of being accused of judging or being critical or, you know, expecting too much from someone. And what I have learned is that at least in my space, people really appreciate being reminded how I see them. Mm-hmm. I appreciate being reminded how someone sees me. I had a conversation with someone earlier recently who had spoken with her husband, and he said, oh, Mandy's so gracious. That will be a great conversation. Aww. And I was like, oh, I really love that. In the handful of encounters that I've had with this person's husband, that he experienced me gracious. That was a good reminder for me, but it's also a really kind thing for my friend to let me know how she sees me, because if I don't show up gracious, I also want that part of the conversation to come up, yeah, you know, like, so, ooh, sis, that's feeling a little, you know, fill in the blank, whatever that is, like, normally really gracious. And that doesn't sound very gracious. Tell me what's going on there. I think that's a gift inside a relationship. That tightening happens when we get to be kind of real and share how we're experiencing someone.
I think what I'm hearing you say is you're talking about practicing honesty and openness, right? Maybe my feelings got hurt, or, you know, you're experiencing them in a way, you're going to take a risk to be vulnerable to say that, but you're saying it in love. I also think too, you're talking about being flexible, like, you know, which goes with grace also, right? It's like you're saying, okay, we're going to pivot, you know, but I kind of feel like you're having an off day and that's okay. We'll pivot, but hey, I care about you and I see you and I'm experiencing you a little bit different than normal. Is there anything you want to share or So yeah. I like all that. I think that's super important.
As I hear you feeding back what you heard me say, what comes to mind is that there is a release of expectation that someone would serve me in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And it's an acceptance that this person, my friend, you know, in my case, all of my close friends are females. I'm a married, married woman. I don't have close male friends that I'm confiding in. My friends, when I share with her or with them, are just taking me for me and whatever I've got that particular day, and I'm taking her for her and whatever she has on that particular day. And that's enough. There's an acceptance, even if there's a limit.
Absolutely. One of the things I hear you say there too is like you're appreciating who they are and accepting what they can show up with. You're releasing your expectations instead of making them conform to your expectations, right? So you're releasing your expectations.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. Like,
okay, but let's talk about that on a practical level, right? Like, this is probably the thing that I would say I will be working on until the Lord takes me home. It is a really challenging thing to be in a relationship with someone. I feel like I'm like flip-flopping the very thing that I just said, but as we're having like honest conversation around expectation, yes, I can do my work to let go of my thing. Like, Stephanie, when you show up with me, if you're having an off day, if I needed you to really hold something for me and you can't, that is my work to be like, it's fine that she can't do that.
Right.
But there are some relationships, some friendships where we do kind of have some expectation, because those expectations are tied to the type of relationship we desire to have.
So good. Yeah.
Releasing expectation of another person, spouse, significant other, partner, friend, coworker, boss, neighbor, community member. I mean, fill in the blank. I think we do all carry some expectation based on the type of relationship we desire to have. And so to suggest that we'll let go of expectation, man, sometimes I don't always know how to dance that dance between doing my work and letting go of what's not mine, right? Like, I can't control other people and how they behave.
Right.
But having an expectation, because that's my world, in my brain, I don't want to say my world like it's different than other people's, in my construct, of relationships, expectation is tied to hope. It's connected to desire. It's connected to a longing. If I just showed up to you and was just like, I'll just take what you can give me, that's not good either. There's a line that, there.
Yeah, there is a line there, but because you flipped to self-abandonment. Okay. So, but back it up real quick. Okay,
friends, here's my little personal therapy session from Stephanie. Recording for all of you.
Well, and I think it's for our listeners, right?
It is.
Like, and it's for me too. It's like we got
this is my all the time balance. Right? Yeah.
Because I think what the work for me is to go from expectation. Okay. Because expectations create death in relationship, especially unspoken expectations. They only create harm. So now what I need to realize is, okay, wait, what are our agreements? Not our expectations, because my expectation is like, okay, you're going to show up the way I need you to, want you to, and you're just going to know me inside and out. That's actually a blessing that someone does those things. But when we have an agreement, a lot of times, even in our friendships, we don't really talk about our agreements like,
no.
Hey, I know when I sit down and I talk with Mandy, I know Mandy's going to ask me curious questions. I know that Mandy's going to always ask me first, tell me about you, what's going on with you. And I have to say, like, intentionally, nope, I talked last time, it's your turn. I know that. So we have these unspoken even agreements. And in Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? What I hear you saying is, instead of just having broken expectations or unmet expectations, it's actually broken agreements. They haven't been spoken.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. And so you're not wrong to need something from someone else. That's beautiful. I love that you're wrestling with, wait, how do I get my need met from this person that I don't want to hold, you know, which we've bought the lie that our expectation is too high. Our needs are too big. We're too much.
Yes.
That's the work that we really actually have to do. Yeah. The need is good. Yeah. What would be helpful for us if we changed our language?
Can you imagine walking into a friendship? I mean, obviously you don't walk into a friendship, but like there's a point at which in a friendship, you're just like, so Stephanie, let's over coffee today. Let's just lay out our agreements for how our friendship is going to work. We don't do that. We don't do that,
but we do some things.
Uh-huh. We do some things along the way that establish the way that we're going to interact.
We do.
And along the way, at least for me, some of those things are, I guess before we go any further, I just want to be clear. We talked about this before we started recording. We're not drawing on examples to make a point of any one particular. So if you are our real life friend and you're listening to this, please know we're not trying to send some crazy little message to you through this podcast. That's right.
No passive aggressive messages.
No passive aggressive messaging. We're pulling from only like best examples or things that we just know that we know are best practices. But
yeah,
like a friend who will say, if I don't hear from you in a few days, I worry about you.
Oh,
there's some agreement.
Yeah.
Communicating that. Like if I reply back and say, you're right, I will do better. I'm sorry for not replying more promptly. I will get back to you within a couple of days. If I say that, that's my agreement.
That's right. That is an agreement. But you know what's so interesting? I heard that person say, hey, if I don't hear from you in a couple of days, I worry about you. That to me is like, oh, they know you. They know that you're processing something that you don't want to share it. Not you're not meeting my need by responding. Now, I don't know, you know, of course I'm hypothetical here, but
sure. We're not talking about a specific situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if we could go and we could hear that way?
Yeah.
Instead of through the filter of, oh, I did something wrong. I mean, I go there all the time.
Is me all the time.
Mad at me. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it perfect. You know,
someone reached out to me the other day and said, hey, can we chat?
Oh, did you want to puke? Did you just want to puke?
Thank you for that reaction. Because that was exactly it. That like, oh, I'm like, of course we can.
Yay, sure. You.
When do you want to do that? And I'm like over here. And I immediately had to go back to, okay, what do I know about this person? There's literally been not even a single moment where I could have done something wrong. I mean, there wasn't even a context for that, but I have a memory of that in my deep inside my bones. I'll give that to my counselor to work on in my next EMDR session, I guess. But I have this instinctive reaction, and mm-hmm. it is a reaction. It's not my response. It really is my reaction that mm-hmm. is like, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. I was so not in trouble. Like, it was so not, it was like, it couldn't have been that situation at all. If I could rewire my thinking, it would be such a gift for my ability to show up right. for other people the way that I experience other people showing up for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh man. I'm like, there's so much there, but I'm like, well done doing the work. Mm. Like, you know, going back to, okay, what do I know about this person? What's the truth? I love to ask myself, Stephanie, did you do anything wrong? No, that is just old, mm-hmm. old. And so, okay. So I'm going to deep breathe it. Right. And do what you did. You did awesome. I'm so proud of you, girl. You showed up well.
Well, the deep breathe, I'm going to tell you that deep breathing piece is like an actual hack for my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because so that reaction that I have elicits a whole thing inside my body. It does a thing in my brain. It does a thing in my gut. It does a thing in my, I would say my chest, but it feels more like it's like the depths of my heart.
Yeah, 100%.
And that deep breathing is a reset, not related to maintaining friendships, but sort of related to maintaining friendships, because that gives me the ability to just show up and receive what they have and not come in all stirred up with an expectation or an uncertainty or a thought. I can just receive what they bring.
I think what's important for maintaining relationships right now, this is a great example of, okay, well, I get to model, hey, Mandy, I heard that. I'm going to pray about that for you.
Mm.
I just want you to know that. And then I'm actually going to pray about that for you. I'm going to send you a text message. I'm going to come alongside. I love you. I can't fix it for you. And then I can show you. I see you. I hear you. I can affirm you. I can appreciate you. All of those things are the things we just talked about in our relationships. Okay,
let's back up to this I'm going to pray for you thing. Let's talk about that. Because that is something that I, in the spirit of maintaining friendships, praying for my friends, having my friends pray for me, I think that's an important aspect of maintaining friendship. And I just want to talk about just kind of the practical nature of that.
Yeah,
so you are so good at this. So I'd love for you to kind of tell us a little bit about, like, how do you keep up with what you're praying for? How do you know what to pray for when you're praying for a friend? When do you communicate with your friends that you have prayed for them? And when do you just kind of keep it between you and the Lord?
Those are such great questions. Okay, so first, I'm going to say that I haven't always been great at it. I said I was going to pray and I didn't. And so I intentionally worked on it for years. I started with a journal. And every time I had a friend say, will you pray for me? I had to write it down. And then when I went to quiet time, I would pray. And not every day. Sometimes I like would say Monday is Mandy and Tuesday is daughter. And went, you know, like, and so I picked a day and then I got in just a rhythm. Then the next thing that started to develop was my discernment. When they shared what their prayer request was, and then I was in my quiet time and I was like, oh my gosh, this verse goes exactly with what this person asked me to pray. I send them the scripture and I'm like, I'm praying for you. This is what God showed me. I hope this helps you and encourages you.
Friend, that is the most beautiful example of intercessory prayer.
Thank you.
Because that is not you in your own anything, honestly. There's an emptying of you, a willingness to submit to what the Holy Spirit is telling you in that moment. Mm-hmm. Not like, hey, look at me, I found this verse, but the Lord led me to this and it is for you. Yeah. And that is a beautiful thing.
So that's kind of my basic practicality. But I mean, I really, in all just true transparency, I stunk. I would tell my friends I'd pray. And I realized, like, one day I was like, I am not praying. What a bummer. And I wanted my friendships to grow deep roots. And okay, so here's a little therapy, you know, for all of you out there. In relationships, there's five areas of intimacy in marriage. I'm going to say specifically five areas of intimacy. There's emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, sexual. Okay, we experience all four areas of intimacy in all of our other relationships: emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. Sexual is the only one for our spouse, right? So if I really want a true relationship and I want a healthy relationship, then I want to foster the spiritual relationship. And I don't just want to be spiritual. You know what I mean? Like, talk about Jesus, you know,
Yeah.
I actually want to have a relationship like what we're really saying. So I had to really grow here. So I would just tell y'all practicality, find what's comfortable. But if you're going to tell your friends you're going to pray for them, then make the time to pray yeah. for them.
If you're not going to, and there's no judgment here.
That's
just
right.
Don't say it.
Right.
Just don't say it, because if you tell someone that you're going to pray for them and you don't, that is between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
That is not between you and your friend.
Yeah, that's a good place, because they've asked you, you know, and you've made an agreement actually when yeah. you said you would. And now you're yeah. breaking an yeah. agreement. And yeah. right. And so you're right. Yeah. It is. It's where you go is with the Lord. So I love that you brought it up.
The other thing I hear you describing there, though, in maintaining friendships is a requirement for me to show up and tell you my real stuff.
Yes.
So to maintain a friendship, we've done a lot of chatting about, you know, the things I'm going to do for my friends. I'm going mm-hmm. to, you know, make a date. I'm going to pray for mm-hmm. them. I'm going to check in with them. I'm going to spend time with them. But there is this other thing that I do for my friend when I choose to show her the part of me that I don't really want. And this isn't for everybody. It's not for, you know, all 25 of your friends.
Yes.
Or if you've been taking notes and we talk about our village versus our like smaller little circle, you know, there are, you don't tell everybody all the things, but my friends can't know me if I'm not mm-hmm. sharing the things with them.
Yeah, that's right.
So if I'm having a particularly heavy day, sometimes I will just get kind of caught up in my own stinking thinking. Those days, I do need my friends to pray for me. I need some reminders of things that are true. And so, but I can't get that from the body, which is God's design for how we live life. I can't get that if I'm not sharing. Likewise, I can't, it's not good for me to just take and vent and go and dump and say all these negative, awful, terrible, whatever's, you know, I'm feeling yes. frustrated about without sort of an intended purpose on the other side of it. So I think one of the things that I'm hearing you say is that we have to show up for our friends honestly, mm-hmm. you know, authentically, mm-hmm. but we also have to be willing to share the things, even if it feels a little maybe embarrassing or maybe uncomfortable or shameful. That's kind of the beautiful fruit of a friendship, is being yeah. able to be freed a little bit of some of those things when we bring it into community. So that's part of my work too, not just keeping up with the coffee dates and such.
That when you show up for your coffee dates, you show up uh-huh. authentic and transparent and vulnerable. Uh-huh. And yep. you don't have to dump all the things, but you might have to actually have a little pep talk with yourself. And you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable about this thing today when I go to coffee yes. with Nancy, right?
And it's then take like, a deep breath and more back to risk again.
Yeah, exactly.
Full circle.
Yeah. Full circle. I know.
Yeah.
Well, what a sweet conversation about maintaining friendships.
Yeah.
I think that there's so much more for us as we keep looking at how we're cultivating and maintaining a friendship. I think there's a really beautiful part of it, and we'll run out of time today and won't get to yeah. it, but conflict, yeah. resolution, yeah. so important, because actually we can receive intimacy from conflict. We actually can have mm-hmm. connection. I look forward yeah. to furthering our conversation and talking about that.
Next time, let's keep our focus kind of on that conflict and in the forgiveness that comes. That can yeah. be kind of maintaining part two.
Yeah, part two. Absolutely.
Part two.
Well, thanks for a beautiful conversation today.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. As we wrap up, tell me what you feel like you need as a result of this conversation.
Oh man, what do I need? Great question, because I haven't even thought about it. Let's see, what do I need? Oh, you know what? I need to work on changing my expectations to agreements. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you said that, I thought, dang, I guess that's what I need. I need friendship agreements. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to sit with that a little bit too and decide mm-hmm. sort of how that plays out in a way that feels real.
Not contractual.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Where it feels authentic. If you think about it, we have a lot of agreements in most of our relationships. We went into a marriage with an agreement. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to honor. I'm going to cherish. Right. We said, and so it was a covenant. So yeah. if we could look at our relationships from a different perspective, and we look at those are actually just really healthy boundaries. I know what to expect in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what to expect. Yeah. yeah. So,
all right, friends. Well, until next time.
Until next time. Be blessed.
We've loved having this conversation with you, and we're excited for the next one. Make sure to subscribe to Uncommon Purpose wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. Also, connect with us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts, stories, and experiences. Your journey is a part of this larger tapestry we're weaving together. Until next time.